Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're diving deep into what happens when you're accused of a crime and how you navigate that complex legal landscape.
Yeah.
We've got a stack of source material for this deep dive, pulling from info about criminal defense, specifically in Bucks County, Pennsylvania,
Right.
and also looking at a crucial, often life-altering intersection: the impact of recent U.S. immigration changes on criminal cases for non-citizens.
That's right. These sources give us two perspectives that really highlight the challenges someone faces. One focuses on the fundamentals of criminal defense from like a law firm's viewpoint, and the other zeroes in on the unique and, frankly, escalating difficulties for non-citizens in the current legal environment.
Our mission today is to sift through these sources and pull out the absolute essential insights. We want you to walk away with a clearer understanding of your rights, the vital role a criminal defense attorney plays, and just how significant the stakes are, especially, when immigration status is involved.
Yeah, getting to the core.
It's about getting to the core of what these documents tell us.
Exactly. It's about distilling the critical knowledge.
So let's jump right in. What's the very first, most fundamental thing our sources emphasize about being accused of a crime in Pennsylvania?
Well, the material makes it crystal clear. You have specific rights that are absolutely essential to protect. The two big ones highlighted are your right to remain silent when questioned by law enforcement,
Okay.
and your right to hire a criminal defense attorney.
And the sources, they don't really pull any punches here, do they? There's a powerful warning that if you start answering police questions without your lawyer present, you are effectively throwing your rights away. That phrase really lands hard, doesn't it? It speaks to how critical it is to understand the consequences of talking.
It does. It's not just like a suggestion. The sources frame it as a critical first step. They stress that you need to call a criminal attorney no matter the circumstances of your case. This applies whether you feel you're completely innocent or, maybe you bear some legal responsibility. The point is, don't go it alone from the start.
Because the legal system is complex, and as the sources explain, the attorney's job is to walk you through your rights and crucially help build what they call a solid legal defense.
Right.
You need someone who understands the rules to protect your interests.
Which brings us to the role of the criminal defense lawyer themselves. Our source material uses a firm based in Bucks County as an example to illustrate the scope of this kind of practice.
Right, looking at Schatz and Stenkus LLP, for instance, as mentioned in the source, gives us a picture. They focus on criminal and DUI defense across Pennsylvania with a significant presence in Bucks County and the surrounding areas. The sources mention they have over 3 decades of combined experience litigating criminal matters, highlighting their background in trial work.
And what's fascinating is the breadth of cases they list handling. It really runs the gamut. Serious charges like homicide and gun cases, but also juvenile defense, probation violations, DUIs, federal offenses, drug cases,
Hold on,
ARDs.
ARD, could you quickly explain what that is? I'm not sure everyone listening will
Oh,
know.
good catch. Yeah. ARD stands for Accelerated Rehabilitative Disposition. According to the sources, it's a program in Pennsylvania often available for first-time offenders, typically for nonviolent crimes like certain DUI or theft charges.
Okay.
If you get into the program and successfully complete the probation period and requirements, you can potentially have the charges dismissed and even get your record expunged. So it's a really important potential path in certain cases,
Okay.
and navigating it definitely requires legal help.
Got it. So the range covers everything from potentially clearing a first offense through ARD all the way up to murder charges. That's
Correct.
broad.
Very broad.
The sources also note the defense lawyer's strategic goals, always aiming for dismissal, but also knowing when it's prudent to seek a plea deal. That feels like a key insight, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
A good defense isn't always about a dramatic trial. It's about the best possible outcome, which, might be a carefully negotiated plea to avoid harsher penalties.
Absolutely. It's about strategic decision-making based on the specifics of the case and the evidence. The sources give examples across different areas they handle. They mention extensive experience with DUIs, assisting with drug cases,
Right.
helping formulate an airtight legal defense for charges after car accidents, and navigating complex murder-homicide cases for clients, whether seeking to clear their name or secure favorable plea bargains.
And the point about probation violations is really important, too. It's easy to think probation is the end of it, maybe.
Right. You think you're done.
But the sources warn that even minor slip-ups, missing a meeting, a failed drug test, even a new minor arrest can be seen as a violation and potentially land you back in jail.
Yeah, even if you ultimately didn't do anything wrong on the new charge, the violation itself is the problem.
They stress that legal counsel is crucial even then to defend against potentially losing your freedom over seemingly small issues.
It highlights the ongoing nature of legal risk even after a sentence has been handed down. The sources also specifically mention their work in juvenile criminal law, which is, you know, a whole different system with its own rules.
Now, here's where the source material makes a really strong claim about the stakes involved. It's stated that choosing a criminal attorney is no place to cut corners, and that not hiring a top firm could result in lifelong legal consequences. That's pretty direct.
That's a powerful assertion from the source, yeah. They really lean into the idea that the system is highly adversarial. They claim prosecutors will do everything they can to ensure jail time, regardless of guilt, and present hiring a good attorney as the only way to have a chance of winning. It paints a picture of a system where you need a strong advocate just to kind of level the playing field.
The source goes on to provide practical details for connecting with the firm. They mention they offer a free initial consultation, list a contact number, email, and online form, and have office locations in Furlong and Bensalem in Bucks County.
Right.
It underscores the message from the source that reaching out quickly is important.
Right. Emphasizing accessibility for someone needing immediate help.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So that gives us a picture of navigating the criminal justice system from the perspective of charges and defense in Pennsylvania, using that Bucks County example. But what happens when you add the layer of immigration status? This is where our second source dives into a completely different but equally critical dimension.
This source highlights a fundamental truth for non-citizens today. A criminal charge isn't just a potential criminal conviction, it's an immediate immigration crisis.
Right.
The criminal defense attorney must understand immigration law because the collateral consequences, the impact beyond the criminal sentence itself, can be devastating for someone who isn't a citizen.
Devastating how? The source explains that even a guilty plea for crimes that might seem minor to a citizen, things like certain types of retail theft, DUIs, or drug cases.
Yeah, things that might get probation for a citizen.
Could result in deportation. It can shatter a life built in the U.S.
And this point about consequences is so critical that, as the source mentions, it actually became a constitutional requirement for attorneys. The article references the Padilla v. Kentucky Supreme Court case.
Teresa, right.
Before Padilla, many criminal defense lawyers, well, they just didn't even consider immigration outcomes. It wasn't really their focus. Padilla changed that, ruling that attorneys have a constitutional obligation to inform their non-citizen clients about the deportation risks before they plead guilty.
So it's not optional anymore?
Not at all. Failing to do so can be grounds for claiming ineffective assistance of counsel. It's huge.
Wow. So it's not just good practice. It's a fundamental right stemming from a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
That really changed the game for how non-citizen cases must be handled. The source then points to even more changes, specifically discussing the impact of U.S. immigration policy and enforcement since January 2025, referencing an executive order titled Protecting the American People Against Invasion.
Yes. The source describes what they call drastic changes resulting from these orders. They mention DHS directing enhanced vetting rules that heavily scrutinize visa applicants and undocumented immigrants based on any criminal history, no matter how old or minor it might seem.
And the concept of high-risk countries comes up, too. The source indicates that simply having ties to a country deemed high-risk can make it extremely difficult, maybe impossible, to obtain immigration status,
right,
even if the person has no criminal history themselves.
Another significant point is the expansion of expedited removal.
Yeah.
The source explains that historically, this fast-track deportation process mostly applied to people apprehended soon after crossing the border within certain timeframes and distances.
Yeah, like 14 days and 100 miles, usually.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But under new executive orders, according to the source, this authority may extend beyond the limit of circumstance, meaning those strict rules about time since arrival or distance from the border might be less relevant.
Oh.
Potentially subjecting individuals who have lived here for years without status to rapid deportation.
Rapid deportation. The source really emphasizes the speed for ICE detainees, often deported incredibly quickly, sometimes it says within 24 hours of detention.
That's incredibly fast.
Which means, as the source advises, legal counsel and family need to act with extreme urgency, contacting the client immediately because there might not be much time to fight it.
Yeah, no time at all, potentially. The source also notes a requirement for undocumented individuals over 14 to register fingerprints within 30 days of arrival.
Okay.
Stating new executive orders have attached civil and criminal consequences for noncompliance. Interestingly, the source raises a question about the implications for the Fourth Amendment regarding the potential future use of this collected biometric data.
That definitely raises a point about privacy and government data collection, doesn't it?
It does.
Finally, the source touches on sanctuary cities and counties, explaining that a local government's policy on cooperating with federal immigration authorities directly impacts how local police interact with ICE.
Right, like whether they'll hold someone for ICE based only on an immigration detainer.
They use Philadelphia County, which has been a sanctuary county for over a decade, as an example of a place where local law enforcement is less likely to collaborate on immigration enforcement matters based solely on, you know, immigration status.
So what does this all mean when you put it together? According to these sources, for non-citizens, facing criminal charges is essentially fighting a battle on two fronts simultaneously.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You need legal representation that understands not just the criminal charges and how to defend against them, but also the complex, often unforgiving, and rapidly changing landscape of immigration law and enforcement. Because the stakes include not just potential jail time, but losing the right to be in the country at all. It's incredibly high stakes.
This deep dive has really laid bare the crucial, often frightening intersection of criminal defense and immigration law for non-citizens. Navigating criminal charges already requires understanding your rights and finding skilled legal help. But it becomes, well, exponentially more urgent and complex for non-citizens due to those potential swift immigration consequences.
The sources collectively underscore how absolutely critical informed legal strategy and preparation are in this environment. You can't just wing it.
Definitely not. So here's a final thought for you listening to consider, building on one of the points raised in the sources. With the increase in biometric data collection, like fingerprints from undocumented individuals, and the potential for that data to be used in expanded ways, what does that signify for personal privacy and the future relationship between legal status and personal data?
It's a big question.
It's a question that feels increasingly relevant as technology and enforcement continue to evolve. Something to think about.